Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said an egotist is a man who thinks he's smarter than you are, even though you know very well he isn't. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study. Once more, we're very glad that you're listening, and we do hope that from time to time you mention the program to other people, give them the opportunity of listening and studying together from the Word of God. All right, let's get to our study for this week. The Hebrew writer in chapter 6 of the book of Hebrews had this observation to make. This is verse 17 and 18. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us. Now look at the passage and note this part of the passage that will serve as a basis for our study. Notice he says it was impossible for God to lie. You know, there are a lot of things that the world today might consider possible, and even they might look to God and consider this matter of lying a matter that God perhaps could do just like any man could. However, the impossibility of some things ought to be understood and recognized by those of us who are trying to serve God. There are some things that just simply cannot be. They are impossible. Let's look at some of those things in our study, and as we look at what the Bible teaches about this, perhaps it will help us in understanding our responsibility toward God and our obligation toward His Word. Number one, it is impossible for man to change God's law. God has given His law to mankind. And man has always been under law. If you go back as far as the garden in the very beginning, you remember God gave law to Adam and Eve. They were told they must not eat of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they did that, they would surely die. And so the law was given. Then as you come throughout the Old Testament, you see focus on a law that was delivered to the people of God on Mount Sinai. You remember Moses went into the mountain and came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments that God had given to the Jewish people of that day. This commandment or this law that God gave unto mankind was not to be changed in any way. In fact, you remember in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said that they could not add to it and they could not diminish aught from the law as God gave it. And so indeed it was to be respected. Then when we come to the time of the death of Christ, we see the ending of the Old Testament law and the giving of a New Testament law, and that law also is the law of Christ, which governs the activities of men and women even today. That law is not changed. God doesn't change it, and mankind has no right to try to change or to break the law that God has given. Now, as we're talking about this, let me explain one thing that needs to be understood, and that is this. If God decides to change His law, He has a right to do so. He's the giver of the law, and that's exactly what He did. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 31, the great prophet Jeremiah said that God said He would make a new law with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the former covenant that I made with their fathers when I led them by the hand out of the land of Egypt. In other words, there was a law given, and that law was to be changed sometime later. Of course, the first reference to the law was the Ten Commandment Law. Is that Ten Commandment Law still in effect today? Do men and women still have to keep the Ten Commandment Law in order to meet the approval of God? While it is true that the things that were said in the Ten Commandment Law are still being said again in the New Testament, with the exception of one of them, that is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the rest of those instructions are a part of the New Testament law of Christ. Does the Bible teach that the Old Testament law was to be taken out of the way? Well, Jeremiah said that's the way it is. God is going to give to us a new covenant. Now look at the confusion there is in the religious world among religious people over this fact. There are people today who are still contending that we are under the old covenant. And if you were to ask them for authority for what they do in religious activity, they would simply say, well, back in the Old Testament, this is what the people of God did at that time. Well, did Jeremiah tell the truth when he said God would make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not according to the former covenant, but a new covenant? Well, indeed, he was telling the truth, and God did make a new covenant. That's the reason that when we study, in particular, the book of Hebrews, we see the change from the Old Testament law to the New Testament law of Christ. In chapter 7 and verse 12, there's a discussion concerning the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a priest, but his originality came from the tribe of Judah. Under the Old Covenant, the priesthood was limited to the tribe of Levi. And so the writer of the Hebrew letter reasons that if there is going to be a priesthood for Jesus, there had to be a change of the law. And the change of the law brought about this new priesthood that Christ engaged in, and so we see the law being changed. With the change of the law, then there was the change of the priesthood. Those things went hand in hand. Follow that with the 8th chapter of the Hebrew letter, and notice that it's pointed out very clearly that God has given to us a new covenant by quoting from Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. The writer of the Hebrew letter says that this is what he was talking about. A new covenant was to be given. In chapter 9, an argument is made from the making of a will or a testament. Testaments go into force with the death of the testator. Since Christ is the testator and gave the new will to mankind, it went into force with his death on the cross. And then in chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, 9 and 10, the record simply points out in chapter 10 that God said, I will give a new covenant, and it's that new covenant by which we are justified. So does God have the right to change his law? Yes, he does. Did he change from the old covenant to the new? Yes, he did. And so then God is the one who has the right to deal with the change of law. Tomorrow we'll talk some more about the impossibility of man changing God's law. Please be with us. We now return you to our announcer.